Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This three-hour time slot brings you the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and the second and third hour features Team Free State. Enjoy the show.
Sabbath Hour. I host a program in the morning called Keys to the Kingdom, and that's normally what we operate under when we go on the radio. And what we're talking about when we say the keys to the kingdom is we're talking about those souls who were living under God and how they got there. The keys of how they got there. You know, Christ is the door, but you got to have a key to open that door, because he didn't come to guarantee that you're saved. He came that you might be saved, and might be saved not only in the life to come, but in this life. He came to set men free. He came to return every man to his family and every man to his possession. He had the secret of a free government under God, and we call that free government under God the kingdom of God. And there's a great deal of confusion about what that is, and I don't blame people. I know people that are actually laying down what I call kingdom tracks. It looks like they're headed to the kingdom. They have the characteristics of Christ, the characteristics of the early church, the men who were able to disregard the decrees of Caesar because they had another king, one Jesus. That's actually what was going on in the first century church. They had another king, one Jesus, and he appointed that kingdom to these 12 apostles. To the at least 11 of them, and then there was 12, and actually there was 70, and there was 120, and there was more and more of them all the time, because it was based on a system of networking government. There were taxes in the government, but you got to choose how much you were going to pay, when you were going to pay, and to whom you were going to pay. And that is a different kind of government. That's exactly the way it was in the early Israel, that you could pay your tithing to your Levite, who was health, education, and welfare. He was the communication network in the case of attack or disaster or anything. And he was given 10% of what you earned, approximately. 10% of what you produce, I shouldn't say earn. And that 10% was called a tithing. But it really wasn't 10%. If all things were equal, it was 10%, but all things are not always equal. It actually says in the Bible that you tithe to them according to their service. Well, wait a minute now. If you're tithing, that's 10%. Well, how do you give them 10% according to their service? Well, you didn't give 10%. There were 10 families gathered together, and they picked a Levite minister. And if they couldn't come into agreement, then they got together with 10 people they could come into agreement as to who they trusted to be the Levite minister. Now, he's just a minister. He's a titular head. They're forming a republic in a world that was pretty chaotic. They were forming a government where they elected a representative who could not pass laws, could not make treaties, could not exercise authority, could not compel taxes. It was a free will offering that kept him in the black, so that he could take his time to not only connect you with each other in a 10-family congregation, but to connect you with 9 other congregations like your own, and get to know their contact minister, their minister, and all the other people as best they could. Now, that union alone is not going to keep you bound as a people, could keep you in a brotherhood of a kingdom. You needed to cement those relationships with each other by taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. If there was somebody got injured, if somebody got sick, it wasn't a mutual back-scratching society where everybody was getting together to make each other feel good, feel valuable, feel important. They were actually there doing real things. They were a practical people. When you really began to understand Hebrew, I hardly know anybody who really teaches Hebrew as it was spoken back then, because it takes a practical kind of person to understand that language. It also takes a person with a certain amount of spiritual abstract understanding of how people work, someone who has contemplated and understand people because they've opened their hearts to their own heart. They understand their own heart so they can start to understand other people's hearts. And this idea of a practical government under God with no central authority, no government that exercised authority, was a peculiar thing in the world. It's a peculiar thing now. It's almost invisible now. You can't hardly find it now because you look around and all governments exercise authority. All government leaders make laws and rule over you. And that, you know why that is? It's your fault. Yeah, it's your fault. There would always be people that would come and be tempting or be tempted to exercise authority. There's always the Cains and the Nimrods and the bad Caesars and the bad pharaohs of the world who want to rule over you. But the way they get to rule over you is they seduce you. And seduction is not force. They seduce you into thinking it's okay to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And therefore, as Paul states, as David states, what should have been for your welfare becomes a snare. That's how you got into bondage in Egypt. That's how you got into bondage under Nimrod, the mighty provider instead of the Lord. So you have to form a society in which you take care of those needs of society, those emergency needs of society, not with social insurance programs that force you to contribute, but by free will offerings. That will create the relationships that will bind you together. There are other ways that you also create relationships. Your son marries somebody else's daughter. Now that brings you into a relationship there. But even that is not enough without that relationship of caring and love. One of the most important things of that caring relationship of love is that you network together steadily, consistently, checking on one another in a network where you know who is supposed to check on you and who is not supposed to check on you. And who is your brother's keeper? He's not a keeper in the sense of exercising authority. He's a keeper in the sense of looking. And I often describe this as the buddy system times 10. This is the way Israel operated originally. This is the way the Teutons operated. When the Romans invaded them, they came with 15,000 well-armed, well-trained, well-provisioned troops. Teutons showed up the next day with 12,000, outnumbered. Not one Roman was known to have survived that battle. They destroyed them all, totally. Supposedly there was no survivors. 12,000 against 15,000 well-armed troops. How did they do it? How did they organize themselves? They had a guy who kind of rallied around at the time, and then when the Romans were defeated, he kind of wanted to set himself up as a leader who could exercise authority, one over the other. His own cousins killed them. They said, it is not that we will not have a Roman commander-in-chief. We will not have a commander-in-chief. We will not have any man rule over us. And I think it was the Parthians during Peloponnesian Wars. They had an offer from another country, Athens was going to loan them the money to build a wall around their city to protect their cities from invasion during these terrible wars. And they said, no, no thanks. We're not borrowing money. They knew borrowing was slavery. They said, we are our walls. Because they were bound together in the same type of government. where you took back your responsibilities, and lo and behold, you've got your rights back. If you will not take your responsibilities back, you will not get your rights back. The Bible tells us the slothful should be under tribute. Slothful in what? In your responsibilities, one to each other. How you exercise that responsibility is up to you. But the end result and fruit of how you exercise that responsibility will determine whether you are free or not. Now, I just heard from someone who watches these things for us that a bill was passed that is allowing the Justice Department to arrest terrorists in the United States and hold them without bail, without trial, indefinitely. But what's a terrorist? Did you know you could be classified as a terrorist for milking cows and sharing the milk with your neighbors? Yeah, that's a biohazard, and you're distributing it because it's not licensed, homogenized, pasteurized. Homogenized and pasteurized milk causes all kinds of problems with your health. Some people more than others, but allergies, asthma, all can be affected by homogenized milk depending on the thickness of the wall of your intestines and your proclivity towards certain allergies and a number of other elements which you can inherit. But you, and some of you, should never, ever drink homogenized milk. Because homogenized milk, the fat globules are crushed and split and shattered. So much so that they can actually enter into the bloodstream. If it was actually the way it was originally created in a cow, it won't enter into your bloodstream and you won't have that. We know of many people who started drinking non-homogenized milk and their allergies all cleared up. A lot of other problems, joint pains, cleared up. There's all kinds of things you can do to improve your health by eating much better foods, more nutritious foods, but it's becoming illegal in this country to let you do it. And that's your fault because you haven't got together. The number of dairy farmers I met with on the whirlwind tour when I went through about 30 states and met with people all over this country, we had a whole bunch of dairy farmers and people who produce really good, healthy milk. Watch what they feed their cows. Watch things like antibiotics. I mean, there's many levels to this, but they were doing the best job they could. And they were being thwarted at sharing that milk with other people. They were going to be forced to go down and drink the milk that has been treated with formaldehyde at the stores and insecticides and herbicides and dozens of other chemicals, as well as homogenized and pasteurized. When you pasteurize milk, you kill some of the most valuable enzymes. You know, this whole idea of vaccines came from the work of Louis Pasteur, who discovered that milkmaids were automatically immune to smallpox. They didn't get smallpox. Why? Because they milked cows. And the cows had cowpox at times and had antibodies, and those antibodies were, the milkmaids were exposed to the antibodies, and when they were exposed to that, they themselves produced antibodies that worked against smallpox. There are many ways in which you can actually become healthier by living around and with domestic animals. You can develop immunities. One of the foremost biologists in the world, microbiologists in the world, having to do with disease and immunization and everything else they knew about, Pulitzer Prize winner, said the best thing you can do, who is against this massive amount of vaccinating that you see going on in the world today, said the best thing you can do for the immunity of your child is to let them play on the floor. They need to be exposed to, you know, that wasn't the only thing. They also need healthy food, well mineralized food that is grown naturally. You know, we discovered that that everybody told us out here you had to give your sheep, your lambs, what they call LC. It's a selenium shot. it's a trace mineral that they give in a shot. You needed to do that or they would get white mussel. And we actually saw white mussel in a few of our lands when we first started raising them decades and decades ago. We don't get white mussel anymore, and we don't give them shots. How did we do that? We don't even give them selenium salt all the time. Occasionally we will give them, this is selenium poor area, so occasionally we do have selenium salt out there, but they get a lot of salt naturally in the graze that we provide, because we have a number of different plants that provide salt right in the plant itself, and the sheep love to eat them. But we don't get selenium shortages here. We don't get white mussel. And how come? Because we give them grain naturally at one particular month out of the year, and they won't get white mussel. No shots, no chemicals, nothing. Just natural. And there's thousands, millions of things that we could be doing to improve our diet, but we're not. Because we've turned the authority of making these decisions over to other people who don't love us but love power. When Israel, the voice of the people in Israel, voted to make Saul their king, a leader who could exercise authority, God said that it was a rejection of him and that he would end up taking and taking and taking and taking. He would even take your sons and he would take your daughters and he would make his instruments of war and you will eventually cry out and I will not hear you. We have done that. Every single country in the world has done that. They have looked for someone who could exercise authority and provide them with the benefits they want by ruling over their neighbor, and therefore they themselves are trapped in this situation, this system of welfare that has become a snare. So now, what does that have to do with what I call the Saul syndrome? Saul was a great guy until they made him a king, and then he became a tyrant. David was a pretty great guy until he became king, and he became a tyrant. He actually instituted a draft, which was, in those days, a sin against God. In these days, they call it patriotism, but it really still is a sin against God. But they have it, and now you'll shortly see them pass a bill where both young men and young women are drafted in both military and civilian workplace. That is what is going to happen. That is what is going to take place. You can count on that. But in the meantime, they've passed a bill where they can arrest you for terrorism, and that terrorism definition can go on and on and on. Anyway, got somebody in here looking for a key. Anyway, situation in America is getting worse and worse and worse, and that's because the people are not repenting and turning around and getting better and better and better. And you have to turn around. You have to go another way. Or it's just going to be downhill from here. There's a number of other bills we could go into. And I mention that on this show because this show is a little bit more interested in the situation with the government. But the fact is, if you really want to turn it around, if you really want to make a difference, you need to create those relationships that do that. In the relationships in your local community, in the street where you live. And so that's why we started what we call the Living Network, and we're trying to teach people how this networking system works and has worked over the centuries and government after government after government. We published a book, Thy Kingdom Comes, and in that book, Thy Kingdom Comes, we see the Teutons, as I mentioned before, formed a government in this way. The English, or the Britons, they formed a government in this way. And they were beating all comers there for a long time. this is actually the form of government you find most predominant throughout Europe for the first 1,000 years after Christ. Why? Because the Christians, that's the way they formed into these cell groups of caring one about each other. And as Rome fell, they were able to take care of each other. But let's go back to this Saul syndrome, which we talked about on our own blog talk show earlier this morning, and we also talked about it on our other radio show, Liberty Live Radio. But I didn't take it as far as it can go, because we do the same process with doctors, health practitioners, whatever you want to call them. We do it with our ministers in churches. We give them power. We go there and we sit in the pew and we say, "You teach us," as if they should rule over our minds and direct our thinking. That's not the way it was in the early church. In the early church, the elders, which were the heads of each family within a congregation of 10, and we show you in the book Thy Kingdom Come how that pattern was used all throughout Europe and Asia, is this 10 families. Each head of each family was an elder. You weren't appointed as an elder. You were elder by circumstance. That elder got together with 9 other guys like himself and said, you know, heads of families, and they said, you know, Joe here or Steve here, he wants to be a minister. He's really good at this. But when you say wants to be a minister, what did that look like to them? Because it didn't look like what we see today as a minister. He was a guy who cared about people and wanted people to get along, but he didn't want to rule over their lives. He didn't want to tell them what to do. He didn't want to exercise authority. He didn't want to dictate to them their beliefs. And that's why the early church was all over the wall with all kinds of different ideas about beliefs. But the concepts and precepts that Christ taught had to be there, or they could not stay together. They would find themselves dividing off. And when they started making their personal doctrine, their personal private interpretations of Scripture, when there was a lot more Scripture back then than there is today, because hundreds of books that were being used in the early church were put aside by the Church of Constantine, and we didn't get those. They're still floating around. A lot of them, some of them have been lost maybe forever, but the reality is Scripture was abundant, and they would read this, and they would study it, and they would wonder about it, and they would pray about it, and every congregation was coming up with slightly different ideas. But the fundamentals, the basics, caring about one another, everything hinged on two things. Love God, as opposed to the gods of this world, the rulers of this world, the ones who want you to be loyal to them. Love the God of heaven, the God of creation, whoever and whatever he is and however he manifests himself. You cannot define him in a sentence. You could talk about him, but how can you put God in a bottle? The creator. And the second law, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you're not doing that, if you're putting your doctrines and dogmas and your recital of catechisms before that, then you're not going to be free. You're just not going to be free. You have to care about one another. We're in good times. Hard times are coming. You need men who are really a band of brothers and women who are really a band of sisters coming together and caring about one another, not seeking survival, but seeking to serve one another because they actually care about one another. Your brother, your neighbor's children are just as important to you as your own children. Can you imagine that? Can you do that? Can you be that? Because if you can't, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You've got to have that characteristic ingrained all the way down to your soul, not just in your head, not just in your emotional heart, but all the way down to your soul itself, or you will not be free. You will be devoured. You have to be there. The point is, you're not there. None of us are. But that's why Christ didn't say just be the kingdom. He said seek the kingdom. You can't be the kingdom of your own power. You can't be the character that you need to be of your own power. You have to be this other kind of person that you can't do yourself. And so this is what we talk about, a relationship with Christ. But it's not this emotional thing you often see in the churches. It's not this touchy-feely thing that people want to make it. It's not an intellectual thing where you studied it out and you've got it all memorized. And you can quote every verse and chapter in the Bible. It's submission to the fact that you're not good, you're not righteous, but you want to be. And you're willing to see yourself as you really are in order to get there. You're willing to listen to anything anybody has to say about you, to you, whatever. You're not going to run away from that. You're going to stand there and say, you know, I want to work this out. What happens is that people run away. They don't want controversy. We don't want controversy in this church. What they really want is everybody to bow down to the pastor or to themselves, if they are the pastor, and look to them. Because they get a charge out of that when you look to them, when you focus on them. Oh, they say focus on Jesus, but they really mean focus on them. Come and gather around them. You can see this in the Congregationalists. They want to form this congregation and be this little cozy congregation. But Christ didn't come preaching a congregation. He came preaching a kingdom. Now, the congregation begins in the family, and the families come together, but bound by nothing but faith, hope, and charity. And as soon as you fall over into this Saul syndrome thing where you want somebody, you look it up and tell me what it means. You organize it, and then I'll come and join you. That's not the early elders of the church. They were there to rebuke the minister. He's working for Christ, but he's also working for them. And you could easily find a minister corrupted who will cater to the elders so that they keep paying them. That's easy to find. But you also will find where your elders are weak, where they are, you know, effeminized. They're not men. They're looking for comfort. And what makes me comfort? You know, they want their cup of coffee, their favorite chair, and they want to, you know, watch their favorite show, and they want their wife to wait on them, and they want to pretend to be kings in their own castle, but they aren't the character of a real king in his own castle who sacrifices himself for the love of the rest of his family. They want to see other people sacrifice themselves for them or wait upon them or look up to them. And this is what ministers want often. And they're not the real ministers of Christ. The real ministers of Christ don't want you looking up to them. They want you looking up to Christ. They may ask you, how can I help you? But they're just not going to do anything you say because they want you to grow in strength and character. Now, I think we're coming to the half-hour mark. Are you there, Cheryl? I'm not sure if we'll just automatically, they said there was some stuff going on. They may just automatically go to a commercial break here in a minute.
No, I mute my phone so that
okay.
When the dog barks like she is right now, it won't interrupt you.
Okay. I knew you were a little bit under the weather today. Is that right?
Yeah, and I keep sitting here blowing my nose, and that was the other reason for muting my mic.
Okay. Well, I hope you get better.
Thank you. Yes, we'll take a commercial break right now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. So a couple words from our sponsors and other programs here on Freedomizer Radio. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be right back. And you have the floor again, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I'll let you take your little break and rest there while I rattle on for another half hour.
All right, that sounds good.
Okay. You know, people bring shows like this to you, and we try to share information with you, but it's got to go beyond the show. We're not doing this just for your entertainment. We're doing this because, you know, we believe in this. We think there is a value to all this. the purpose of sharing this with you is for your sake. A lot of us could go do something else that's a lot more comfortable to us, a lot easier for us to do, but I think a lot of people are compelled to share their time and energy because they believe that the world is going in the wrong direction and they would like it to turn around and go in a better direction, and you'll have to decide what that is. But the fact is, we see serious problems going on in the economy. The morality of this country is in the toilet. People are raped in the streets. People are murdered. People are robbed. There's billions of dollars being stolen from investors on a regular basis. I've seen judges and lawyers conspire to steal people's property, even steal people's children away from them. This is a real thing. It goes on all the time. I've seen it go on for decades and decades. I've been in courtrooms since I was a boy. And it's a travesty, and it's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. And it's getting worse because people think they're saved in their churches, and they think that God is hearing them when they're singing in their churches. And he is not. He says, go and cry unto the gods that you have chosen for yourself. And what he's talking about is those ruling judges who exercise authority over you and rule over you because you've rejected God. This is what Israel did. It rejected God when it elected a leader who could exercise authority. The first time that leader imposed a tax, you got to remember they were around for 400 years with no imposing of taxes on the people. 400 years. Now all of a sudden he imposes a tax simply to help fund his army because the Philistines might be attacking. And he was called foolish and that his kingdom would not stand because that was so opposite of the precept upon precept of God, of operating the government by free will offerings alone. Do you think you can do that in America? Do you think you can do that in Australia? I don't think you can do that. I think that's impossible. I don't think you'll ever get there for the whole country. But I also don't think the whole country is going to keep lasting. I think the whole country is going to fall apart into a hump of chaos and murder and mayhem. That's what I think, but I could be wrong. What do you think? What you need to do, though, is find those people who could live in such a government and start coming together with them. That's not grandiose. That's simple, down-to-earth, grassroots. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to get together in your little 10-man survival group, and then you guys will, you know, build your bunker somewhere. Now, you might build a bunker somewhere, or you might get with 10 guys who are good survivalists. But your goal has to be broader than that. You have to care about others as much as you care about yourself. Not just those that can benefit you, but those that are way off that can't benefit you at all or don't appear to. Now, because in the long run, they may be the ones that actually save your life. And, of course, if you're any kind of a decent person whatsoever and you're an adult listening to this, it's not your life you want to save. Yeah, it's not your life you want to save. It's the lives of your children and your grandchildren. And like I said, you have to consider your neighbor's grandchildren just as important as yours. You know, this idea and nature of giving life, giving birth. I mean, women should pick up on this right away and often do. That's why we have so many women in the movement who seem to be, you know, hey, this just makes sense. And the men are out there thinking like, yeah, but I got to go watch the ball game. You know, but where's the coffee, you know? You got to have a bigger goal than your own personal comfort because it's all going to be ripped away from you in a short period of time. But now when you're looking for that and you're looking for your minister who will help keep you together in a network of tens, hundreds, and thousands of people, when you're looking for that minister who is your connecting point with the rest of these people, whole nations used to run this way on a voluntary system of government. We're talking millions of people in a network. And when they were attacked, they won. When, you know, the Parthians were had Rome at bay for a long time. They were actually a checkpoint to the Romans because they were well organized. And there were other people that were actually just as well organized. I was trying to think of some of their name, the Frisians. although we have a poor picture of them. And, of course, if you look at them over a period of hundreds of years, you do find corruption in them as well. But this idea of forming a government, a voluntary government, where you help take care of each other, you don't have to get into trouble with the law to do that. You just form a church. 10 families get together, pick a minister. That minister gets together with other ministers, start networking, start learning about health. That was what they were talking about in the program just before this. Health, growing gardens. We grow seeds. We grew a squash this year, lots of it, because we were growing for seed more than we could eat. We've given a lot of it away. But we found that there's a diabetic up north of here, an elderly lady who's a diabetic, normally has to take an insulin shot every evening. But if she eats the squash in the evening, she doesn't need the insulin before she goes to bed. Just amazing. But of course, now we've been building the soil that we planted that on for years. And it's extremely rich. I mean, the squash was up to my chest. I planted a little too close together. Next year we'll do it different. But we're also talking about, you know, we grow meat with no vaccines, no herbicides in our or chemicals or anything in the hay that we produce that we feed these animals. Way more nutritious. The animals are way healthier. They don't get sick like everybody else. They don't need the vaccines. We did this quicker with the sheep because we bred out of them the disease. But the people aren't doing that. They run to the pharmaceuticals and their cows, and they do it with their children. And even the AMA says that the people that have ready access to antibiotics get colds and flus more often, because they don't build their immune system. Well, that same principle applies over in your governmental system. If you look to doctors, ministers, politicians to solve your problems, you're always going to suffer tyranny at the doctor's office, at the church, at the government. And truly, the church should be the government and is even defined as that, one form of government. What form of government is that? It's a government that operates on faith, hope, and charity. The problem is that most of your churches, they don't take care of the social welfare of their congregations. They send them to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You can change that if you'll gather together in a network. You can make that different. Now, I say that and people say, oh, well, you're talking about works. Well, Christ talked about works all the time. All the time. Doers of the word, not hearers only, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. Read James on faith. Faith without works is dead. What works show is that you don't have faith if you don't have works. And what kind of works? Well, you're out there campaigning to get somebody elected so that he can rule over your neighbor. You want to wean yourself as quickly as possible off of the need for central government. I don't mind if you go out there and campaign, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on what should be Plan A. I wrote an article, Plan B. What if Ron Paul doesn't get elected? Even Ron Paul talks about this all the time, so I'm not saying anything bad about him. The reality is that you have to be the government. In order to be a government of free people, you have to start thinking like Christ. You have to start acting, and you won't be able to do it. But when you discover that you can't do it, take a look at that. Repent. Turn around from that characteristic of selfishness or anger or impatience or unforgiveness. If your brother says something you don't agree with and you want to share that with him, share that with him. And see if you can't work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't say, oh, I don't want to bring up anything that might be controversial. You know, if Christ didn't bring up anything that wasn't controversial, he wouldn't have said a darn thing. The Bible would be, you know, like cheat sheet notes. There'd hardly be anything in it. All he ever did was bring up things that were controversial. Same with John the Baptist. Same with Moses. Jesus even said, I come to bring a sword. That means a division. He knew he would divide families, but he would bring together a brotherhood that cared about each other. And if we can do that, if we can find those people willing to repent of their selfishness and unforgiveness and impatience and come together
and be there. Don't do this thing where, oh, well, I walked out of the room and he didn't come after me. You walked out of the room. You left. You departed. You didn't stick it out and say, you know, let's hammer this out. Let's see if we can't come to an agreement. Not a fake agreement. Really do some soul searching. You need to do that. Iron sharpens iron. And you have to do that by striking one another. Well, you know, not unjustly, but I mean actually coming into conflict and working these things out. There is no cowards in the kingdom of heaven. There just isn't any. You got to have courage. You know, Christ said, "He who perseveres to the end." Not he who perseveres until somebody actually disagreed with me. And now I'm going to leave because they disagreed with me. And you know what you're seeing in this spirit, and that they want you to come after them and look to them. Oh, please come back. Oh, please come back. You know, I don't do that with the sheep. I tell this story. I've told it before. I know some of you who are regular listeners probably don't need to hear it again, but think of the other guy who hasn't heard the story. I was up on a mountain here that's up above the church property, and it's about 4,800 feet, and I'm about 600-700 feet over the desert floor. And all of a sudden I hear this baying noise down below, and I walked over to the edge of this butte. It's a cliff. And I was with another fellow. We were showing him the view early in the morning. And the sheep were walking out the gate. Now, they normally are way off away from that, but they just decided they were going to go up and go out this gate and head down the road. And I yelled, "Hey," real loud, and they all stopped. And they looked up. I mean, I had to be a little dot up there. They were just little field maggots down there on the road. But they looked up, and I yelled, "Get back in the gate," and I pointed to the gate. And two-thirds of them turned around and walked back down the road and went back in through the gate, stopped on the inside of the gate, turned around, and baaed to the other third that was still out there. The other third was being led by a sheep we call Korah. It's a black-faced sheep. We don't have it anymore. We sold it to the Russians, and the Russians ate it. So, and I'm not kidding you. We really sold it to the Russians. They drove away in a van. You could see the sheep looking out the window. But Korah was always leading the sheep away. And we sent them back time and time again. But this time I happened to have a cell phone with me. There's no way I was going to get down there, because she all of a sudden, after standing there for a little while, started heading down the road in the wrong direction, leading all these other sheep away and where they would be put into danger. And she wasn't going to listen to the shepherd. So I dialed on my cell phone and called my son, and about a half a minute later, before they'd gotten 50 yards down the road, here comes a little car zooming down the road from the other place, and it stops in the middle of the road. I can see all this from a distance, and the door opens up, and a black and white border collie jumps out of the door and takes off towards the sheep, and all you saw after that was dust. They headed all the way back down to the field. You know, people say, well, you know, if your sheep is lost, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's lost. If the sheep leaves and doesn't want to come back, I'm not going to mess with it forever. I sell that. That's a cold. It's not gregarious. I get rid of it. All it is headaches. It's choosing not to come together. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. They do it the will of my Father. They keepeth the commandments. They gather together." And if they don't gather together, they must not be his sheep. If they want to create division and separation, if they want to manipulate and control, that's not the character. You don't want to join with those people. Let them go. If they want to go, it's free country. You know, people always say, oh, there's not a free country anymore. This is a free country. This is an absolutely free country. We've just replaced grizzly bears with bureaucrats. That's all. We've just replaced mountain lions with, I was trying to think of another word that I could use other than bureaucrats. But we just have a different danger. I mean, they had storms and wind and all that kind of stuff back then. You could starve to death. You could die from a million things when this country was a free country. It's still a free country. We just can die from different things. But what did the early Americans learn to do? That they had to work together. They had to come together. This is why they had the Minutemen for Christ. And for Christ's sakes, that's what you need, is Minutemen for each other. Not just, you know, with camo and marching around in the woods, but in every aspect of your life, you have to be there for each other. In order to do that, you're going to have to forgive one another. And if he disagrees with your personal doctrines, which is all we're ever talking about, because you can't use the Bible for private interpretation, and that's what most of these doctrines are. You've got to come together and actually work that out. You know, you don't abandon one another. You don't forget about one another. You be there for one another. You know, we have a pretty large network. It's growing. It needs to be larger and larger. And if you want to join it, go to hisholychurch.org, find the little guy with the throwing out the net. And, you know, we're not catching you in the net. You are the net. It's a network. And join up. Find other people who actually care about each other. See if you can find any in your area. Help us find others in your area, and we'll bring them to your local congregations. And you start working together, start caring about one another. You will not have a free society without these characteristics in your community. And most of the people in your community are not going to repent and turn around. They're going to remain selfish and uncaring and self-serving and not very righteous. You need to come together based on those basic precepts of caring about one another. And if you do that, you have a chance not only at obtaining freedom, but surviving freedom. You're going to need to do that. You have to do that. It's essential that you do that. That you come together. Now, you don't have to use our particular network. We've already started it. We've laid a lot of things out. We've done decades and decades of research to find out if this is doable. But it's only doable for a certain kind of person. It can't be proud. You can't be arrogant. You can't need. You have to be a giver. But you have to also be giving wisely to strengthen your brother. You know, he's got to learn to stand on his own 2 feet. He's got to learn to walk on his own. But every once in a while, almost anybody, no matter how tough or strong they are, they need help. And then you have to be there for them. And you have to be very patient with them. But you have to be also aware that if you give power to anybody in your group to make decisions for you, to tell you what is right without being able to voice your own opinion, you're going to give them too much power. And like Saul, they will be corrupted. Maybe they're corrupted already. In Saul's case, he wasn't. He was a pretty good guy. There might be some evidence of that in the text, but really what corrupted Saul was the temptation of having too much power. And he had too much power because the people did not maintain their responsibility. If you do not maintain your responsibilities, you will not retain your rights. They are co-relative. So, what does the kingdom of God look like? How does it work? Well, we've written all kinds of books on this subject. Thy Kingdom Come shows you how it's worked in the past. Free Church Report shows you how you can organize it now. We'll take a body of men who really want to be dedicated, totally, full-time, energetic, towards this. They need to be self-supporting, and we're working on that. I've never seen so much hope, which is actually scary, because when people start coming together and really doing the job, Of course, immediately you're going to have certain people falling away because they don't have enough power or control or respect, or they don't consider themselves valued enough, or whatever it is that they need. They just haven't grown up. They're just not mature. They're not really men enough to be in the kingdom. It doesn't mean that there isn't a place for them in the kingdom, but the place will only be provided as they grow up, because, like I said, you can't have cowards, needy, you know, people in the kingdom who won't do for themselves. If you don't work, you don't eat in the kingdom. These are principles of Christ said. You know, if you just play around all the time and fool around all the time, you're a foolish virgin. And when you knock to get in the door, Christ isn't going to, loving Christ isn't going to open up the door. He tells you that. Rebuking people for their sloth, for their unforgiveness, for their impatience, for their dishonoring of their word is protecting them. It's blessing them with the truth. And if you don't want to hear the truth, don't call me up. Nobody called in. I guess I got them all mesmerized again. So if you want to cuss me out, you got to call in. Anybody takers? I'm sitting here with my 44 Magnum. I don't actually have a 44 Magnum. Now I want you to make my day. Afraid of controversy. Go ahead, Cheryl.
No. I hear you, and I hear that, and I'm glad to hear your message today. It's a perfect kind of lead in to, you know, Team Free State. What we talk about is people coming together in a community to take responsibility for themselves instead of setting someone apart to take responsibility for them.
Oh yeah, that is the most dangerous thing. It is a disservice to that individual. He could start out as a really nice guy. You give him that kind of power, and it's going to corrupt him, almost for sure. I mean, David was corrupted. David did repent, but, you know, he was corrupted over and over again. So, and Saul was corrupted so bad he couldn't even come back and repent and fell on his own sword. I mean, they're telling us something about ourselves, not just about people in history. So don't tempt your leaders. Keep them titular. Challenge your ministers. Challenge your leaders. Make sure that they are in it, but also support them. You know, freedom is not without its burdens. Liberty requires that responsibility. So, but I don't know how much time we have. I don't hear the phone ringing off the wall, but I guess we don't hear it ring. You see the lights light up.
See the lights light up. Yeah, I wish it did have a little ringy ding. That would be nice.
So you're going to be there for the next 2 hours?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay. Well, I hope you don't wear yourself out.
Yeah, well, I rested pretty well this morning and rested yesterday. I'm feeling better today than I did yesterday. But
yeah, I've been running on 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. I got pretty good sleep last night. I didn't get to bed till about 2, and I was up at about, I know I was awake by 6. So that's a typical schedule for me, but I'm used to that. Being a sheep herder, they you know, during lambing, you're up all night.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. But I'm getting a little old for that. We're going to have to. What we need to do is find people who are willing to work together and will stick to it and do what they say and say what they do and be open. Don't be afraid to be open. I'm not afraid that people may disagree with me. You know, I'm outspoken, but I'm not really all that mean. But, you know, airing issues doesn't mean I have to agree with you, you know, but speak up. You know, I could be wrong. I might be wrong. It's a possibility. But anyway, I guess we're headed to the end of the show.
Yeah, from where I'm sitting, you look like you've got it right on the proverbial head of the nail. So, thank you once again for your wisdom. We certainly appreciate having you be a part of the Freedomizer family. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, we will take you out here in your outro and give people your information on how to contact you. And I hope people will tune in next week and stay for the Team Free State show, where we can talk more about this subject. So thank you again.
God bless.
God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.